you spend £200 million. I'm Sorrel, and I'm back for season two of the insanely lavish Rich Beyond My Wildest Dreams podcast, where hilarious guests get their hands on an imaginary £200 million jackpot on Euro Millions from the National Lottery.
I would buy tickets to go and see Backstreet Boys in the Sphere. I'd buy the Sphere? What are we talking about?
The bougier, the better.
Turned into a lunatic with all this money. Europe. Beach.
So get ready for confetti cannons, champagne, giant checks, and some of the most outrageous ways a person could possibly spend a £200 million fortune.
Jacuzzi karaoke.
Jacuzzi
karaoke.
You can get that Euro Millions feeling every Friday by searching for Rich Beyond My Wildest Dreams on all podcasting apps, YouTube, Instagram, and TikTok.
Good afternoon, everybody. Thank you for joining us here on Bleacher Report. We're back. Tim Wurzberger, John Scott, Dropping the Gloves podcast. We're very, very happy to be here with you guys. We're going to recap round two, all the shenanigans that went on there, and hopefully look ahead to the Eastern and Western Conference Finals. But first, let me introduce my co-host here, Tim Wurzberger. Tim, how are you, buddy?
Doing great. Happy to be back. We love doing these streams on Bleacher Report. And what a playoff it's been so far. The first round was maybe the first round and the best one ever, at least in recent history. And the second round continued that. Lots of great storyline. What were the main takeaways from you, John, in the second round?
Well, I just feel like, personally, I love what's going on in the Western Conference. Obviously, the first round was crazy exciting with Winnipeg coming back and beating St. Louis and Dallas overtaking Colorado. And then it just carried over to the beautiful series we saw with Dallas and Winnipeg and then Edmonton waxing the Vegas Golden Knights. But then in the East, again, we kind of had a stinker with Carolina and Washington. Not too exciting, but boy, oh boy. The top billing, I think, in the second round was Florida-Toronto, a rematch. Can the Leafs overcome the monkey on their back that is getting to the third round with the core four and the Florida Panthers trying to repeat as Stanley Cup champions? And it just was a beautiful series to watch. The ups and downs, the ebbs and flows, the drama, the injuries, the calling out of players and referees in the press. It was everything you wanted and more. And of course, it came down to game seven and Toronto just laying the massive goose egg that we've all come to know and love for these Toronto Maple Leafs. Just at the biggest moments, they just absolutely fail. It's been well documented all across. Like they stink whenever they're supposed to be good. So the second round, Tim, was great. I think you couldn't have asked for anything more.
Yeah, I grew up in Boston. So seeing Toronto flounder in the playoffs is something that I look forward to every single year. And it couldn't have happened in a better way, unless you're a Leafs fan, in which case that was a pretty devastating outcome. But I want to touch real quick on a couple of surprises. We did a Bleacher Report stream 2 weeks ago, and we both picked the Vegas Golden Knights over the Edmonton Oilers. We picked the Washington Capitals over the Carolina Hurricanes, and we were dead wrong. Both of those teams won in just five games. Quite a surprise here. We'll see if they continue that momentum into the conference finals.
Well, the question marks surrounding the Carolina Hurricanes, I think, are widely known. They obviously went for it this year when they traded for Rantanen. But coming into this playoffs, it's like, who is this team going to be? Obviously, Freddie Anderson was healthy. That helped out a lot. They've always been known for a good team play, coached by Rod Brind'Amour. But it's like the Washington Capitals were on such a hot streak all season long, and they carried that over into the playoffs when they just outed the Montreal Canadiens in five. But man, they absolutely dominated the Washington Capitals in five games. So I was shocked. Pleasantly surprised, but definitely shocked. And then out west, the Knights just didn't even show up. It was just non-existent team effort from that team. And the Edmonton Oilers had their way with them, culminating with Stuart Skinner getting the net back, which could be the biggest win for this team going into the Western Conference Finals. Looks like he has his game back, finished it off with two straight shutouts, and everybody's healthy, potentially, going into the Western Conference Finals. And they were just all over the Vegas Golden Knights. And the biggest thing there was it wasn't the top guys. And we'll touch on that in a little bit, Tim. It was a supporting cast that kind of carried that team. And big questions for Vegas going into this offseason. But I think we should look ahead, Tim, to the Western Conference Finals. Speaking of those Edmonton Oilers and those Dallas Stars, could you have asked for a better Western Conference Finals coming into this season?
No, in terms of star power, in terms of storylines, it's just the ideal matchup here. And they're two very different teams, but there's some surprises here, at least for me, coming into this series. You tend to think of Dallas as a deep team that rolls four lines pretty evenly. They have great power play, great defense. And you think of the Oilers as a top-heavy team. It's like, okay, they got the top dogs. They have some pretty good supporting guys, and then there's not much after that. But that's not really what we saw in the first couple of rounds here. Like in Dallas, it was a Mikko Rantanen show. He had a ton of points. He's leading the team with 19 points. And meanwhile, the Oilers, yes, you're getting the leading scorers are Draisaitl and McDavid, but the depth was the part that got him through that series. And, you know, guys like Connor Brown, Adam Henrique. So it's not quite the one-dimensional team that we thought this might be heading into the playoffs.
No, and I'll start with Dallas, where you have to give credit when credit is due. Jim Nill has done a fantastic job with this team, navigating the cap. I don't want to say hell, because the Minnesota Wild are in cap hell, but the cap hell they were in with Sagan and Ben and these older guys that had a high-end salary that weren't producing the way that they should be producing. And he's able to build this team around some really good young superstars while maintaining the future. But the thing I wanted to key on with him was this team has been good to him for the last 4 or 5 years. They've been very, very good. Western Conference Finals, Stanley Cup, they've made runs. It wasn't enough. It wasn't enough to win the Stanley Cup, and that's the end goal for this team. So what does Jim Neal do? He goes out and he gets the best damn player available in Mikko Rantanen. A shock. Seismic earthquake sent through the league when he gets him from the Carolina Hurricanes, because this guy didn't have that guy. Yeah, you got Sagan and you got Robertson and you got Hintz and you got all these other great players. You got Heiskanen and Ottinger. It wasn't enough. So Jim Neal doesn't sit on his hands and go, oh, we got a good team, win with what's in the locker room. He goes out and gets Mikko Rantanen. And holy hell, has it paid off. The first round, he single-handedly gets them past Colorado, dominates, what was it, game six? He comes in and dominates and gets them into a game seven. And then he just carries that over into the last playoff round when he just is scoring hat tricks and 5 points and natural hat tricks and setting the league on fire. So for Jim Neal to do what he did and to give up a lot, but you have this guy now and he's yours and you get to throw him out there and you're playing him a ton and he's producing and you're potentially going to win a Stanley Cup because you go out and make that move. I know GMs, people like to dump on him a lot, because when things are going bad, it's like, well, our GM stinks. Look, he hasn't given us the right players to play with. He's just not doing enough, or he's trading away our assets and this and that and the other. Jim Neal needs to get some kudos, because what he has done with this team to be able to sustain their window, but also add huge pieces to him, it's unbelievable.
Yeah, I mean, there are obviously exceptions to this, Toronto being one of them. But generally speaking, when a team does well, the players get the credit. When the team does poorly, the GM gets blamed. As we always see that the case. And Jim Neal, like to your point, is was excellent in bringing in Rantanen. He's been a game changer. 19 points, like I mentioned, the most on the team by far. And it kind of addresses the whole superstar question, where the Stars haven't really had that before. He has played a lot of games already, though. He's played a lot of ice time. He's averaging 24, 25 minutes a night. Does that make you nervous? You think there might be some wear and tear there, or is he going to be ready to go?
It does make me nervous, because typically forwards don't play that much. And when you saw Rantanen early in this playoffs in his sweet spot, when he really started to fire things up, it was 18, 19 minutes and he was fresh. And you could tell when he jumped on the ice, he had that little burst. But the last three or four games versus Winnipeg, they upped his ice time. Pete DeBoer said, you know what? These other guys aren't going. He was double shifting him. He was playing on the first and third line. He was getting a ton of ice time. And yes, it paid off. Can you do that versus Edmonton? I don't know. Does he have that in the gas tank? Because he's a big boy. He's not this water bug. He's not a Connor McDavid who just floats on the ice. Yes, he's a good skater, but boy, it wears on you game after game after game. So I don't know if he has that. Hopefully DeBoer doesn't have to put him out there that much, but it's nice to know that he can. But I think he's more effective when he's playing 18, 19 minutes. He's fresh. He has that burst. Whereas 25 minutes, he looks labored. Yes, he's still very good, but he's labored. And the reason he has to do that, Tim, is because the rest of the guys on his team, they're not producing like they had in years past. And you mentioned it earlier, the calling card for the Dallas Stars was everybody's pulling on the rope. Everybody's producing. Everybody's doing something. And we had Matt Duchene on our show earlier this year, and he said, you sacrifice a little to gain a lot more. So you sacrifice a little ice time, you sacrifice a little power play time, so everybody gets more, the greater good. We win games, we win playoff series. But when you look at this team, it's Mikko Rantanen. The next highest point getter, Tim, is Thomas Harley. That shouldn't happen. That's not how it should be. It should be Robertson. It should be Hintz. It should be Granlund. It should be Sagan. It should be Duchesne. It should be Dadonov. It should be these guys. But they've been non-existent on the score sheet. It's been the Mikko Rantanen show. Do they need to do more, Tim, to beat the Edmonton Oilers? Or can they continue this riding Rantanen off into the sunset?
No, you're going to need that depth. Rantanen's a superstar, but you're not going to out-superstar the Edmonton Oilers. There's not a team on the planet that has a better pair of superstars. So you're going to need that depth to show up. And one of the things that Dallas does really well is there are games where Rantanen's, you know, dominant in back-to-back hat-tricks, like you mentioned, but games where he's not going, you're going to see a Matt Duchene step up, a Wyatt Johnson step up. And then there's another player they just got back at the end of the second round, Miro Heiskanen. Absolutely huge. He's changes their whole defense. He changes the whole dynamic of their power play, of the way they run their lines. And he's going to be healthy. And he's going to be part there for the entire series, which is a total game changer for their team.
It's big for the power play. And it takes a load off Thomas Harley. Because when you've watched the Stars the first couple series, holy crap, has Thomas Harley been playing a lot of ice. And he's been great. Very, very good. But to get that just security blanket in Miro Heiskanen, where you know the guy doesn't make mistakes. Like, he's so smooth. He's a Nick Lidstrom. Not as good, but maybe a little bit better offensively than Nick Lidstrom is. He's really, really solid with the puck. And to have him on the power play, to have him quarterbacking things, and just getting away from a Thomas Harley on that top unit, I think is going to be huge for the Dallas Stars. And it does take the burden off the bottom four, the Esa Lindell, the Cody Ceci, the Bischel. Those guys were playing maybe higher minutes than they should have. And when you play the Edmonton Oilers, you need that shutdown pair. You need those two defensemen who can skate with a Connor McDavid. I think that's the biggest thing. When McDavid gets going, you can't slow him down. You have to stay up with him, keep up with him. And I think Heiskanen and Harley can do that. Only time will tell, but it's such a luxury to have him back. So speaking of defense, do you want to jump into Edmonton, Tim, or you want to stay on Dallas just for a little bit longer?
I want to touch on Edmonton quickly because the whole McDavid Drysdale thing, like I mentioned, we talked about just they're a superstar heavy team. They're a top heavy team. And those two guys have a ton of points. They're first and second on their team, but neither one of them has scored many goals. They have 8 goals combined through 11 games. Drysdale has 5. McDavid has 3. This is the depth that stepped up. And you know, you have Corey Perry. He has 5 goals. The guy's what, 41 years old? Like, he's crazy. Evander Kane hasn't even played every game. He's got 4 goals. He's got more than McDavid. So you're seeing a different team that is surprising to me because I think on paper, they're not as good as the team as last year when you had a ton of points from Ryan Nugent-Hopkins and Zach Hyman had 50 goals and all this other stuff and everything was going their way and it didn't happen this season. You kind of think, man, these guys are due for a regression. They are not as good. And here they are heading into the second round with all the confidence in the world. So I don't think the depth is bad or as weak as I thought it was going to be heading into these playoffs.
Well, that's what's gotten them through the first two rounds because goaltending has been questionable. Stuart Skinner, he got healthy scratch, Tim. Like, he was garbage in the first round versus the LA Kings. Calvin Picard obviously came in and shored up the net, but the goaltending has been somewhat suspect. Defense has been good, but the depth was what carried them to the third round of this playoffs. And yeah, you lose Dylan Holloway. You lose some other pieces. You bring in a Skinner who was a failure. You bring in Pod Colson, who's been pretty good. It's just been the guys who've been there. Adam Henrique's played really well. Evander Kane's been pretty, really well. Connor Brown's played solid. So it's nice to see the thing that I guess people have criticized the Oilers for year after year after year. They're fine at pulling it together. Chris Knobloch's done a great job with this team. Instead of outscoring teams 7-5, you know, 8-4, which was the norm for the Edmonton Oilers the last 3-4 years, they're now winning games 2-1. They're shutting other teams down. Maybe it's because they know they can't give up too many shots because the goaltending is shaky. Stuart Skinner is just such a fragile human being where if you get one, you're going to get 4. So they're like, well, we can't give up many shots. Maybe that's the case. And these guys are actually buying in to playing defense. Whatever it is, it's working. I think a large part of it, Tim, has to do with the defense. Getting Brett Kulak, bringing in Jake Walman. It's been really good for this team to, you know, lean on the defense a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, Wallman, what a pickup that was. He's been really good and taking some of the pressure off Bouchard, too, because he's an offensive-minded defenseman. He's not as skilled as Bouchard, but when you have multiple options and Bouchard's not going, you throw Wallman on the first power play, and you have those options there. And there's a huge question mark going into the series for the Edmonton defense, and that's their arguably best all-around defenseman, Matthias Ekholm. He has not played yet in these playoffs. He's been hurt. He's practicing now with the team. I think he's even wearing a non-contact jersey, but he's probably not game ready yet. So I don't think we'll see him tomorrow night in game one, but hopefully at some point in this series. And what a difference maker he is on the back end.
It would be huge. He'd be just like getting not quite as dramatic as getting Heiskanen back. But yeah, he is that safety blanket. You could put him alongside Bouchard, and Bouchard is even more free to do what he does. Because when you look at Evan Bouchard, when you look at the other high-end defensemen in the league who have been in the playoffs, who have been getting points, whether it's Josi, a Makar, these high-end puck-moving defensemen, when you look at their stats, Bouchard laps them in points per game in the playoffs. He is that defenseman. He steps up. He scores when you need him to score. The big games, he shows up. He's not a Morgan Rielly who shrinks and gives up goals in the playoffs. This guy is an absolute stud. So for him to just even get a little bit more rope, a little bit more freedom, because he knows, hey, if I go up in the rush, if I'm the fourth man in, I don't have to worry about it. I know Brett Kulak's back there. Maybe I'm a little worried. I got Matthias Ekholm.
At GrosvenorCasinos.com, we know casino is more than a game. It's a feeling. I've got the feeling we got every deal feeling. Of the cards, every turn of the roulette wheel, every spin of the slots, and every swipe of our app. You can feel the love every time you play. Experience over half a century of premium casino expertise right at your fingertips. Download the app or play online. GrosvenorCasinos.com, the home of real casino. 18+ gambleaware.org.
That guy's an absolute stud. He's going to make the right play. So if he does come back, it only strengthens this already strong group. But by the way, they have a John Klingberg. They got a Nurse, a Stetcher. They got Wallman, Bouchard. This is a deep group. Whereas in years past, you're like, I got Vinny Desharnais back there. Things are going to get dicey once we get past the first one or two pairings. So it's nice to see the Oilers playing some unconventional hockey, which we're kind of not used to seeing out of these guys, Tim. But it's good. We'll get to the picks in a little bit, but I think we should jump to the Eastern Conference because exciting stuff happening in the Eastern Conference.
Yeah, the Eastern Conference. So the Florida Panthers versus the Carolina Hurricanes. And again, it's a weird because in some ways the teams are very similar. They're both zone-to-zone teams. They're methodical. They're physical. They're very well coached. But Florida, there's something about them that's just like, it's almost like the sum of the parts is greater than the total. You know what I mean? Like, there's just something special about this group. And they're playing hot, but they played a lot of hockey. They played just 2 days ago, and they have to play game one tonight in Carolina. How big of a deal is that?
I think it's big, especially coming off a huge high. And it's not like they're playing at home and they can jump on a quick flight to Carolina. You're in Toronto. It's a lot of travel. Think of going from Florida to Toronto. And they did that 4 times. That's a lot of flying. It's hard on your body. And these weren't, you know, flag football type games. There was some serious hitting going on. There was some dangerous plays. There was a lot of stuff after the whistle. So these guys are worn out. But I think if anybody can battle through that, it's the Florida Panthers. That's how they play. That's how they do 82 games throughout the season. So they're used to the wear and tear. They're used to the bumps. But it'll affect them, I think, in game one. The Carolina Hurricanes haven't played in almost a week. And they're ready to go. They've been chomping at the bit to get to this game. They've been underdogs pretty much every series they've been in. So they're ready to go. But I don't think it'll sustain itself throughout the series. But the first game, if Carolina does not jump on them, or if Carolina does not get this first win, it's going to get dicey. Because this is their chance to take hold of this series and really prove some people wrong. Because coming into this playoffs, I was a naysayer for the Carolina Hurricanes. I thought they were going to beat the New Jersey Devils, who were throwing out arguably an AHL team at this point. They were so injured. It was just a ragtag group of guys. They limped into the playoffs. I thought they were going to get waxed by the Capitals. I thought they were going to get gentlemen swept by the Capitals. They turned it around and swept them gentlemanly in 4-1. So now going into the Florida series, maybe I have to rethink this Carolina Hurricanes team. Maybe I have to reevaluate why they're winning. And they're doing it the way they've done it their whole tenure with Rod Brindamore. It's everybody's bringing their lunch pail. Everybody's doing their job. And we're going to win as a team. Yes, there are moments where guys step up. But for the most part, Tim, it's everybody pulling on that rope. It's the Aho, the Jarvis, the Svechnikov, the back end's playing well, and Freddie Anderson is doing what Freddie Anderson is supposed to do, saving the puck.
Yeah, well, it's funny because everyone's talking right now about the Carolina Hurricanes and their quote-unquote boring brand of hockey because it's not super exciting to watch, but it works, and it's very effective. That's why they're heading into the Eastern Conference Finals. That's why they've been so successful over the last, you know, 5-10 years. But the question, obviously, they haven't won a cup in 20 years, so the question is, like, do they have the superstars? Do they have the guys for the big moment? We've waited for this. We were hoping Rantanen was going to be that guy. He wasn't there for more than 2 weeks. Gensel last year didn't totally work out. So it's up to this group, which again, on paper, is probably not quite as strong as last year, but something is working about this group. So you look at Aho, you look at friend of the show, Seth Jarvis, you look at Svechnikov. Do you think one of these guys has to step up and be a superstar and deliver in the big moments, or can they get by in the aggregate?
I think they can get by with this depth scoring, because when you look at this team, Eric Robertson stepped up in big moments. Jordan Martinook is always solid. Jordan Staal, we just saw there on the replay, he's put in some big goals. So it's not like they're relying on one line or two lines. Everybody does their job and everybody produces. And what Carolina does is they just overwhelm you. They just are constantly pressuring you. And it's just constant. You have to be good. You have to not make mistakes, because if you do, we will take advantage of it. They throw pucks on the net like crazy. They're very similar to the Florida Panthers in that regard, where they're just throwing pucks at the net. Everybody was talking about how Florida in the last game versus Toronto, 75 shot attempts in the first two periods. Carolina Hurricanes do that too. I was at a game in Buffalo when they played them. Everything was going at the net. Everything from all angles. They weren't trying to make perfect plays. They weren't trying to backhand toe drag this and that, east-west. These guys get the puck, they gain the zone, and they get it on net, and they get rebounds, and they create chaos. And if it doesn't work out, all five guys come back. It's a very frustrating brand of hockey. That's why they get labeled with the boring moniker. But from a hockey purist, from people who know the game, it's hard to do, because everybody has to do their job. You have to trust that Taylor Hall is going to be backtracking. You have to trust that Brent Burns isn't going to dive down and pinch. You have to trust everybody. And Rod Brindamore has these guys playing the game very, very, very good. So it's going to be very difficult for the Florida Panthers, who were used to overwhelming other teams, to kind of be on their heels if the Carolina Hurricanes play it right.
Well, I think game one is going to be huge for that reason. But one of the questions for me heading into this series is, you know, you win series often on superstars. It's guys that deliver in big moments. And one of the biggest guys for the Florida Panthers, both last year when they won the cup and all their recent success, been Matthew Tkachuk, the overtime goals. He scores big goals in big moments, and he's hurt right now. He obviously got hurt in the Four Nations tournament back in February. He came back probably sooner than he would have liked to. He's not quite at 100%. He had 0 points the entire Toronto series, which is not like him at all. And you watch the series and he's not getting the same moments, the same ice time. So something's not right. How important is he to this lineup? Can the Panthers win if he's not scoring?
I think they can. Well, they just beat the Toronto Maple Leafs without him. So it's a luxury that the Panthers have that they don't need him. The addition of Brad Marchand to that third line with Luostarinen and Lundell has really taken the burden off of Matthew Tkachuk, because he can kind of not play a shutdown role, but he can more focus on checking other teams' top lines and just being a good solid line. But if they want to succeed, if they get past this round, they need him to score. So this has to be a blip on the radar, that Toronto series. You need Tkachuk to produce in order to win another Stanley Cup. Like you mentioned, we saw how important he was last year when they won the cup. He was huge. He was in the big moments, the Four Nations tournament. He was a massive presence at that tournament. This guy needs to be that player in order for this team to repeat, in my opinion. Maybe I'm wrong, but if you go up against Dallas or Edmonton and you don't have him at full speed, it's trouble. But the beautiful thing about Florida is they have that ability to click it into another level. Very few teams have that, Tim, where you're down. They were down 2-0 to Toronto. It's a scary place to be. You need to win games, and then they rip off three straight games where it's like they find another level. I don't know if any team can do that that's left. Maybe the Oilers, because they do show bursts like that. But that's a luxury that Florida has. And I think Tkachuk can maybe have another round where he's not as productive as he needs to be, because they are so, and this is where I'm dogging the Carolina Hurricanes again. On paper, from the eye test, the Panthers are stronger up front. When you got Barkov and Reinhardt, and you got a Bennett and a Luostarinen and Marchand and these types of guys, and I'm I'm going to put the Carolina Hurricanes and I'm going to undervalue them because then they're going to come back and dominate me again and make me eat my words. But the Panthers are stronger. They have more talent. The back end is better. They got Seth Jones. You got Ekblad and Forsling and Mikola and Kulikov. To me, in my eyes, they look stronger. But this is what the Carolina Hurricanes have been dealing with, Tim, all playoff long. They're the underdogs. They're like the superstars, the big, handsome guys coming into the bell of the ball. And then there's the Carolina Hurricanes, the guy who parks your car. Like, that's who they are. And they're embracing that. So I don't know. I could be in for another massive eating of crow after this series.
Well, there's really not another team in the league that is so that executes a system as well as the Carolina Panthers do. It starts off, Hurricanes, not the Panthers. It starts obviously at the top with Rod Brind'Amour, but like what they do so well and why it works is that you don't need to rely on any guy, to your point. And like, if one guy's not going, if one line's not going, it doesn't matter. All four lines play exactly the same way. And it's the aggregate. It's like a swarm of bees. It's not about the bee. It's about the horde as a whole. And it works really well. So let's talk about some of our predictions, John. Do you want to do the West or the East first? And what do you think is going to be more exciting?
Well, there's some questions in the chat I want to touch on first. What do the Stars have to do to win this year? I think they have to get production from the secondary guys. I think we need to get Robertson, get going a little bit. I think we need Matt Duchene to be a little bit better. Dadanov, he's getting chances. Those guys need to produce more. I think we touched on that earlier in order for them to have success in the playoffs, especially against an Edmonton Oilers team that's just red hot and only getting better. All right, let's get to the predictions and we'll answer some of these other questions in the chat of Stars Canes final. Is it going to be a rematch of last year? Oilers Canes would be great. I agree. Well, let's start in the West. We got Dallas, Edmonton. Two huge teams. Two teams after the season, if their name was on the cup, you would not be surprised. But in my eyes, Tim, and I think you agree with me, it's going to come down to one thing, and that's a net. You got Ottinger for the Dallas Stars. He is an absolute game changer. In my eyes, he is the best goaltender on the planet right now. He outdueled Connor Hellebuck last series. He has been fantastic. He has been playing lights out. He gives you that save when you need that save. He doesn't let in soft goals like Stuart Skinner does sometimes. So in my eyes, because of that, the Dallas Stars will win in seven. It'll be such a close game. But when it comes down to crunch time, they got the better goaltender. They're going to win that game seven. Ottinger's going to step up and get that W. The Dallas Stars are going on to the Stanley Cup Finals over the Edmonton Oilers.
Yeah, I agree with you. And the goaltending is so interesting because Stuart Skinner lost the net and he got it back only because Calvin Pekarek got hurt and he was letting in beach balls and just was getting pulled. Comes back. What does he do? Back-to-back shutouts. So if they're getting that version of Stuart Skinner, it's going to be a tight series. And I think it'll be tight either way just because of the Oilers' star power. But at the end of the day, I think the Stars are a deeper team. They're a stronger team. And they obviously do have the better goaltender. So I agree with that. I think Stars in seven.
Yeah. All right. Moving on to the Eastern Conference, we got the Florida Panthers, the defending Stanley Cup champions. They have the team. They loaded up at the deadline. Seth Jones, Brad Marchand. Then you have the Carolina Hurricanes. They lost at the deadline. They lost the best player right now on the planet, Mikko Rantanen. They have no business being here, but they're here, baby, and they're playing fantastic hockey. I'm going to say Cinderella. It's going to hit midnight. The dream run for the Carolina Hurricanes is over. Florida is just too strong. They're too experienced. All the metrics, when you look at it, when you look at the players, the forwards, the defense, the goaltender, I like Florida top to bottom. I like their higher-end forwards. I like their depth. I like their defense. I like their goaltending. That being said, you still have to play the game. Carolina is very well coached. So was Florida with Paul Maurice. I'm taking Florida, Tim. I don't know how I can't take the Florida Panthers to go back to the Stanley Cup Finals and try to get a repeat.
Yeah, it's not just like the things you mentioned, but also the intangibles. You try to build a perfect hockey team, you come up with something closer to the Florida Panthers because the offense, defense, goaltending, like you said, coaching, but also the toughness and the mental toughness. Like you said, down 2-0 in Toronto, and they weren't fazed at all. They have the speed. They don't get rattled. They're never out of a game. They're never out of a series. They're just so good at up and down the lineup, and guys like Brad Marchand playing at this level, Seth Jones. So, yeah, I like Florida. How many games do you think for this series?
You see, and this is where I dog Carolina, too, a little bit, because I want to say five. But I'm going to be an optimistic for a fan. I'll say six. I think Florida in six. They jump on Florida early. Carolina gets that early win. But it'll be six for Florida. What do you think?
Yeah, I'll say six. Six sounds right. I think, we underestimate the Carolina Hurricanes a lot, I think, between you and I. But they are a good team. They're just not the Florida Panthers. That's what it comes down to.
Wouldn't an Oilers-Canes final be fun, though? They did that a years and years ago when Rod the Bod was on Carolina, they won the Stanley Cup in game seven. I'm buddies with Fernando Pisani when he went on that hell of a run and just could not stop scoring goals. That would be a heck of a finals to go back and relive that. And Edmonton Oilers maybe slay the dragon and win the Stanley Cup finals. It would be great. We're wrong sometimes, not very often. We're very, very smart. But I think it's going to be a Dallas Stars, Florida Panthers final. It's going to stay in the Sun Belt. It's going to be great for Gary Bettman. Grow the game in the South, he said. It's going to be great for hockey. And we're going to see superstars going head-to-head. Mikko Rantanen, Tyler Seguin, Jason Robertson, Miro Heiskanen up against McDavid. How fun is that? Oh, no, sorry, not up against me. Against Tkachuk, against Bobrovsky, Ekblad. We're not going to get a rematch of last year. We're going to have a new Stanley Cup champion this year. We'll save that for the Stanley Cup preview, but we'll wait till we get there. But here is the schedule, Tim, for the finals. What do you think? Is this looking good for us?
Yeah, game one tonight between the Hurricanes and the Panthers. Like we said, game one is so important for the Carolina Hurricanes. You can't let the Panthers get that momentum in game two tonight, tomorrow night for the Stars and the Oilers.
Yeah. Looking forward to it, everybody. Thank you for joining us on this Bleacher Report stream. If you want more of him and I, go find us on Dropping the Gloves. It's a great podcast. A little bit more laid back than these Bleacher Reports. Just kidding. It's the exact same. We love being on Bleacher Report. So check us out there. If not, we'll do another one of these for the start of the Stanley Cup final. So thanks for joining us, everybody, and have a good one. Cheers.
At GrosvenorCasinos.com, we know casino is more than a game. It's a feeling. I've got the feeling we got every deal feeling of the cards, every turn of the roulette wheel, every spin of the slots, and every swipe of our app. You can feel the love every time you play. Experience over half a century of premium casino expertise right at your fingertips. Download the app or play online. GrosvenorCasinos.com, the home of real casino. 18+ gambleaware.org.